This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Alice Halvey is here with us. Good to have you here. Alice is CMB Vice President of Education Training at Union Home Mortgage. Alice, did you have a good Easter?
I did. We had a wonderful Easter. The weather was beautiful. It was quiet with just Andy and I and my mom, and it was wonderful.
Oh, good. Well, that's so wonderful. You have those quiet ones. That's good. What you got for us? You were talking just before the pre-program. You go, Dave, I got a lot of information to cover, so let's get right into it. Thanks, Alice.
Yeah, I normally like to kind of keep it to three topics because otherwise I know all of you listening might go, okay, I'm losing her. But I will still try and kind of keep it summarized here so it's easy to follow. First of all, I want to follow up a little bit on what Rob mentioned for the MBA and Marcia Fudge's statement on the state of the Mutual Mortgage Insurance Fund, and there's no plan to decrease the premium. I think what I love about those quarterly reports that I really recommend lenders check out is take a look at the credit score information and the trends and the DTIs. This is super helpful, I think, to understand if your underwriting, especially your manual underwriting, is on track with where HUD's overall portfolio is. Certainly, we can see that with our neighborhood watch numbers with what's already definitely causing us trouble. But I like to watch this to see overall historically, where are we with the credit score ranges that HUD has in their portfolio? And so we've been watching this for years. And what really still stands out for me is that 500 to 619 credit bucket. Now, granted, we don't touch 500 credit scores, but that 619, 600 for so many years, and especially old school underwriters, was a real sweet spot for FHA stuff where maybe your borrower had gotten back on their feet in the last 12 months and met all of FHA's criteria, but still didn't cross over into that better credit score range. And that bucket just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And so even though it's completely out of where it used to be 25% of HUD's portfolio, it's just noteworthy for those of you who are still doing manual underwriting. There's no correction there in any way, as we saw some improvements in the market recently. Same with DTI, sticking right there around that 43. So I recommend checking out that quarterly version as well as the annual report. There is way too much dependent on COVID to be able to try and predict reducing the MMI premium right now. So even though HUD says it's not off the table, they might look at it in the future. A true salesperson would be going, does that mean next month? And the answer is no. Okay, it's off the table this month. What about next month or next quarter? Stop it. It's going to take another annual report a little bit further into the impact of the vaccine on employment and the COVID unemployment numbers. There's just got to be a lot more stability, because if you know anything about these reports, they're trying to look ahead for many years to make sure they keep that capital ratio. And there's a lot of assumption in those reports. So just a quick heads up on that. I think that's always helpful for people to check out. The real big news happened when Freddie issued their bulletin about the investment properties and second homes. And if you read this closely, essentially it means Freddie's not taking them. So there's no manual underwriting of second homes or investments effective May 1st. As of April 15th, all LP second homes and investment properties will receive their yellow high likelihood of caution, basically ineligible rating. All that are submitted to their system after April 15th will get this rating. So it didn't appear like you could enter your key number from a previous run to keep your accept. So just a real big heads up that if you've got a loan marked Freddie only for some other underwriting criteria for an investment property second home, you got a real short window here to try and get that closed and delivered, because it's not going to be application date. So it's a big issue. And of course, no heads up that we were going to be limited to one agency. And we'll just keep watching this issue. The Urban Institute, who does a lot of great writing on this, did file a critique on this. And they stated an interesting fact that I wasn't aware of, that 1 to 4 family units make up half of all rental units, according to the Urban Institute. I thought that was super interesting. When you think of all the multifamily that's out there, over 5 and above commercial, I didn't realize 1 to 4 was that big of a market share. So thank you, Mortgage News Daily, Jan Swanson, for getting us connected. You can find the link to the Urban Institute's response from that article. The other big thing was the QM. So this whole thing, right, with Fannie and Freddie and the 7% revolves around their preferred stock purchase agreement. There's a lot in that PFPA, and with that is QM. So right now we have a proposed rule. You need to comment on it by today. It expires today to chime in on the revised QM rule that does away with the 43% and does away with Appendix Q. We all love that. We want that gone. We're totally in favor with this new QM rule that really just has us focus on it. If your APOR 2.5% above the APR. So anyway, if you're violating the APR rate, you've got the challenge of now you trigger a QM, which we're all used to. You just got some programming. The CFPB postponed this until October 1st of 2022. Great. We got all kinds of time to implement this. The challenge is in Fannie and Freddie's preferred stock purchase agreement, it references QM. So we've got to make sure that Fannie and Freddie are okay, that they can buy these. So we're still kind of watching to make sure all of that ties together, right? They're technically two separate agreements between what's going on with the CFPB, and they're extending the rule and making sure the GSEs are on board with that. So we will be watching that for you also this week. COVID stuff in general. COVID, we have CFPB rescinded their supervisory flexibilities. So those of you who are regulated by them, which is lots of lenders, you're not getting that extra gimme anymore because of COVID. And so that was not unexpected. We were all probably doing the best we could to stay in compliance anyway. So that wasn't as big of an impact. Other than VA not extending. They rescinded their COVID flexibilities.
Really?
So MBA is working with them. That was a bit of a shock. We got an extension from everybody else for at least a couple more months. And VA did not extend there. So we're hoping to get that from them. The GSE did say their adverse market fee related to COVID is going to be here till December. So don't count on that 0.5% going away anytime soon. So that's a lot, Dave. And on top of that, HMDA was published. So 2020 HMDA data to start digesting. Lots going on right now. Make everybody's brains explode.
Getting a couple questions in from listeners right out of the gate. Are you seeing changes where people are taking the FICO score and lowering it now as volume?
Yeah, are lenders taking lower scores? Well, I can't speak for all lenders, right? I can just tell you what I go by and what I know is good business practices. And when I did the consulting, tell folks, you don't want to be out of the box, right? When you look at HUD's numbers and you see it's a minuscule percentage of business that is at 619 or below, do you want to really be under that microscope? So at some companies, I might do them here and there. But for me, just from a risk analysis, I could never tell somebody, yeah, that's okay. So I don't see it in an industry that for lenders who are really cautious about making sure they're in line with what HUD expects.
Good. We are seeing some evidence of people doing that. So it's very common, although there's a number of them that are, I think, going down to 600. I understand that argument, but some going below 600, that starts really getting into the point where not too sure. But there are some that's going doing that.
If it's a good FHA file, it meets all the other criteria, and it's just really thin credit. If you've got something to go on to show that they're going to pay, I love FHA for that. The challenge is just how much of it, and do you have control of how much of your pipeline is going to be made up of that?
That's exactly right. And the thin file is the one that I think is really, you raise such a good point. There's enough new buyers coming into the market, and a lot of the millennials who are buying homes for the first time using the FHA program, which is the purpose of that program, how it was originally designed, first-time home buyers, have a thin file, and they may be down in that lower end. So I think that's the right use. So it's like anything else, Alice, it's how it's administered. So thank you so much. Appreciate you being here, and hopefully you can participate all the way through into when we got Mark Helm coming on a little bit later on the podcast. Thank you so much. Really value it. Next week, we got Kevin Crichton coming on. We're going to be focusing on positioning yourself for a post-pandemic industry in 2021. Kevin's been in the industry for a long, long time. Anyone who knows Kevin Crichton, he is a true leader and a true forward thinker, and I can't wait to get his thoughts next week on the podcast. Say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, CMLA, Indicom, Incelerate, Mobility, MMI, as well as Modex, the MBA, Knowledge Coop, Lenders One, and the Mortgage Collaborative. Thanks so much, everybody, for being on the podcast today. Share this around, and we look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.